Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. These past few weeks have been a tremendous blessing for me in the preparation of this Godcast. Through God the Holy Spirit's inspiration and teaching to bring this Godcast to you. This week is identical. Believe me, I sit with an empty noggin with pencil in hand, and God goes to work as He illuminates my mind. Now, we've learned it's God at work. God the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the helper, teacher, and He provides the energia needed to live out this life of discipleship and doing the will of the Father. God the Holy Spirit has His fruit basket, and it's full of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and energia. It's the evidence. You got your tanks. Let's dive in. This segment is titled Discipleship, the Way of Life, Evidence, Part 3, Prove. You know the amazing thing, my fellow disciples, we have been conditioned by the world that data will tell us what we need to know. In school, it's the grades. Work performance, it's annual reviews. In finance, it's the balance sheet. And in healthcare, the pathology report. And when the data comes in, it changes one's perspective immediately, and we must always consider the data that's in manuals and user guides. If you need to know what to do, because what you thought you could accomplish on your own, and you fail. Because the manufacturer does give extra nuts and bolts, but not extra parts. And I got a few. How about the trusted bank statement? Because it will tell you if you have more month at the end of your money. And when we look at data, we are charged with making informed decisions. Why shouldn't spirituality be the same in the spirit as it is in the physical? As parents, the grades are dropping. The decision is, give me that phone and the car keys and oh, no. No internet, movies, or freedom. It's solitary confinement for you. In employment, the data comes in and it's a bad review. And a growth plan is offered or they show you the door. We've been bombarded with all kinds of sayings. How about this one? The proof is in the pudding. Have you ever heard that one? So if value, quality, or truth is established with pudding, isn't it tasting it that's the proof of the quality? So in reality, the evidence is in the tasting that is the proof. Because without tasting it, you're simply just speculating and going off its appearance. And the correct determination of its quality is purely conjecture. Is that a yes or a no? How about this one for the non-cookers out there? Liars figure, figures don't lie. Just look at the numbers. Many could perceive things are progressing well, like the student that states, school is great, and yes, got all my homework done. But then the grades come in, the numbers or the letters for some, and oops, these numbers prove what indicates something entirely different than what your lips were flapping. Like a particular country that boasts of its religious values, when in actuality, its morality numbers confirm they possess one of the highest rates of divorce in the world, and it also floods its airways with filth. And what's apparent when you read, study, and meditate on God's word, God reveals what truly lies under the skin, or in the fabric, you would say. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's disorder in every evil thing. As I quote what God inspired James to pen in James 3. So let me ask you, look around. What do you see? Liars figure, figures don't lie. Just look at the numbers, and it will prove what's in the pudding. But this Godcast is not about that, but it is about this. The physical is directly related to the spiritual, and proving it is in the wake. And we must look at the spiritual because this is what God requires of their disciples. And my fellow disciples, it lives in the prove section. Believe that truth. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, as God commands in John 4. The simple truth, unless God makes you alive spiritually, you are dead spiritually. And if you are dead spiritually, how could one worship the only true God who is spirit when one is ensnared in the physical and captive and blinded by it? And that's all that is permitted for them to see because they are being spiritually blinded. Listen to this evidence on how they live, and it proves the truth. In whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. As God inspired Paul to pen in one of his letters to the church in Corinth, you can find this truth of God in 2 Corinthians 4. So, may I ask, what should we consider as disciples of Jesus? The simple truth? It's really very simple, my fellow disciples. What does Jesus have to say? I think we should take that up as a mindset. What does Jesus have to say about this? And this is what he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As I quote what God inspired John to pen in John 15. Prove? We need to prove? No. All I got to do is say, right? I mean, I just say it, and that's all the evidence you will need, right? I mean, you got to believe what I say, right? No. God says, prove. P-R-O-V-E. Because one could represent just about anything based on the surface, face value, and appearance, you know, and it could or might be believable. But then that would depend on if God the Holy Spirit is an occupant in the observer, and they have been given spiritual discernment out of God the Holy Spirit's fruit basket. Because most of humanity looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. That's the plain old truth. Because this is what we've learned from Jesus. The things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. And God's evidence of defilement, which is proving what God says, is listed in Matthew 15. But no, Jesus says, prove. Because your actions are speaking so loud, I can't hear a word you're saying. God says it this way: this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. As I quote what God inspired Matthew to pen in Matthew 15. So cogitate on this. If God completes his supernatural heart and spirit transplant, that's Ezekiel 36 coming alive in you, then they, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are dwelling in one's essence. That's John 14, coming alive in you. And God is at work in you. That's Philippians 2. And you are seeing transformation process occurring after God transferred you from the domain of darkness into his marvelous light. That's Colossians 1. And the renewing of your mind is occurring every day. That's Romans 12. And the rivers of living water begin to flow from your innermost being. That's John 7. You are replicating the perfect model. That's Ephesians 5. And you are keeping his commandments. That's John 14. Following in the footsteps of the greatest disciple maker ever, and you are proclaiming him. That's Colossians 1. And you are reproducing disciples. That's Matthew 28. Then the self-examination test results confirm, which is proving that Jesus Christ is in you. That's Colossians 2:13. And if those evidences are present in your essence, down to the core of your existence, then John 17 will happen just like God said it would. And all I can say is, oh, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. So, now that we have proven that there is a foundation, the rock, if you will, for which you are building your house, then it does prove whether you believe or accept what I'm saying and testifying to or not. That's between you and God. And I'm certain you will have your opportunity to discuss your deeds in your one-on-one accountability meeting with God. No need to worry about missing it. You'll be the first to know when you need to show up. And now, my fellow disciples, let's talk about an essential ingredient needed in your disciple spiritual spice bag. And that is the indispensable mandatory component of God's energia. But why? Why would one need to possess power? Well, first, you may have been deceived by the world and believe your power is enough to accomplish whatever you desire. And biblically, that's a scary thought, to accomplish what you desire, because God clearly states this: for the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please, as I quote what God inspired Paul to pen in Galatians 5. Now, you must believe this truth of God. Carrying out the things you please is everyone's struggle, because all have sinned. All people that walk on the face of this sin-infested snake pit have traits and various kinds of degrees of sin. No need to state them. You know what you're capable of, and what it is the byproduct of possessing a depraved, corrupt nature. And remember, it's sin in thought, word, and deed. So in other words, you may not have done it, but thinking it, you're just as guilty. That's the plain old truth. Now, to prove to you a doctrinal truth, you need God's power to accomplish God's will. That's the plain old truth. And God's energia comes only in and by God, the Holy Spirit. You are not born with it. It's not passed down from generation to generation, and you surely can't buy it. God must provide it to you. You need proof? Here it is to prove this truth of God. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God, as I quote what God inspired John to pen in John 1. And where will God's energy apply, my fellow disciples? Well, it applies here. Love. This is an example of what love looks like and how you, as a disciple of Jesus, are called to imitate. Listen. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Now, this is your example of true love. Remember, one of the greatest expressions of love is forgiveness, and forgiveness begins the healing process. Cogitate on this. At the fall of man, the relationship of God was destroyed by sin, and sin hurt the Father. And by Jesus' life, with the act of forgiveness, the Father began to heal. So these men killed Jesus, and of course, they did not know that they are also an active participant in God's predetermined plan by his foreknowledge. So, as murderers, they are the ones God used for the shedding of Jesus' blood on the face of this sin-infested snake pit, which was the altar on the grandest scale. Because remember what God said in Hebrews 9, and according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Jesus must shed his blood, or there is no forgiveness for anyone. And through love, Jesus stepped into your place. Listen. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, as John 1 John 4 testifies, He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, as 2 Corinthians 5 so clearly validates God's plan of salvation for you. Jesus came to die for sinners, and these men would be sinners for certain. And the interesting point, we could see them as sinners, because I wouldn't do that to God. Sin? Try not to speak. Because could it be in their mind, after morning coffee, got another whipping, it's that guy Jesus. And in their mind, they're just doing what comes natural and doing their job, right? Kind of like today, I'm just doing what comes naturally, doing as I darn well please. You be quiet. Because when Jesus says, for they do not know what they are doing, which is their spiritual work of service, because God prevented them from recognizing Jesus as to who he truly is. Oh, the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. But killing Jesus is an evil act nonetheless, because Jesus was innocent of any wrongdoing. Remember, you know that he appeared in order to take away sin, and in him there is no sin, as God inspired John the pen in 1 John 3. And remember this, my fellow disciples, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, as I quote again what God inspired Paul to pen in 2 Corinthians 5. I'll send you this one in a bubble. Jesus says, Father, forgive them. It's not a question, my fellow disciples. Jesus doesn't say, Father, will you forgive them? Or, Father, condemn them, which they truly deserved. No, Jesus says, forgive them. And for Jesus' salvation work, these men are forgiven. I wonder how many will be devastated to find that they, who lived a life of self-deception, had all expectation that they would be spending eternity in God's presence, only to find themselves in outer darkness, because Jesus has warned us. Go read, study, and meditate on Matthew 7, where Jesus warns of not everyone. These are those who find themselves weeping, mourning, and gnashing their teeth. And these men? Worshiping the only true God in his presence forever. This is what you need to know and why you need God's energia. And you need it to forgive, just like you have been forgiven. You cannot forgive unconditionally in your flesh, because your flesh does not possess the capability, capacity, or power to accomplish this spiritual act of love. You want to be like Jesus and act on his words? Then forgive. If the result of the test is that you continue to be bitter, or you continue to hold grudges, or you continue to keep an account of wrongdoings, then the test result should be obvious. Then you'll know. But I pray you realize the eternal consequence for failing to forgive like God and Jesus has forgiven you. Let me ask you, how can you have the words of Christ richly dwelling in you, which should be flowing out of you, when sin is wrapped around your heart like a plant that's root-bound in a small pot? This is where that examine yourself applies. And you'll need God's energia to be truthful even with yourself. You'll need God's energia here. Anger. God says this, This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God, as God inspired James to pen in James 1. In the flesh, be truthful. You will want, desire, or even crave revenge, vengeance, retribution, or retaliation. You name it, for the sin committed against you. And these sins can vary in degrees from slight to gross, and types of treatment could be subtle to extreme, because that is not right, and you don't deserve such ill treatment. And when you are living in the flesh, the thing that you please is that the transgressor pays for the sin they committed against you. And you might even quote a biblical verse, an eye for an eye. But when this appetite, desire for revenge, vengeance, retribution, or retaliation is unfulfilled, anger raises its ugly head, and your physical existence begins to show the telltale signs of what's bubbling under the skin. Your heart rate increases, blood pressure skyrockets, respiration increases, you raise your voice about 10 octaves, and you lose control, and sin is crouching at your door. That's the plain old truth. And when you blow your top, your flesh is the victor. And the consequence of sin results in all kinds of tragedies, devastation, pain, and sorrow, all resulting from one's corrupt, depraved nature, called the flesh, of what truly goes on under the skin. You need God's energia to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And the power that comes, it comes because the power enables you to maintain self-control, because you love, trust, and have faith in the only true God, because through God the Holy Spirit's work and power, the Helper brings God's truths to your mind, like, for the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously, as 1 Peter 2 says. And when God is the occupant of their disciples, you know, their presence and work, through God the Holy Spirit's power, you entrust yourself to the faithful and true judge. And because God has given you the ability and power to renew your mind, the Helper brings to mind, never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And you trust that your Father will institute his justice in your place. And you look to God versus yourself for the execution of his divine justice. You need God's power to remain calm and live out this truth of God and act on his words. Then and only then is God's word coming alive in you, when what you do, which is act upon them, and it's God's work in and through your life, my fellow disciples, then you can examine yourself and see the true work of God. And then you know that Jesus Christ is in you, as God says in 2 Corinthians 13. Unless indeed you fail the test. Remember what Jesus says? Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. As Jesus reveals the intrinsic attributes of his disciples' power on the rock, as Matthew 7 clearly describes, let me ask you a question. Are you still getting angry under the skin? You know what else you need God's energy for? You need it here, in the trials of life. This is what God says. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Why do you think trials are needed in your life? No one looks forward to trials, be it in the physical, and the trial that would confirm your innocence or guilt in a criminal court and your freedoms taken away, or a financial trial when you have no income and still have outgo, or a spiritual trial when you receive a medical diagnosis you were not expecting and your immediate plans change, and now your mortality is standing right in front of you as you prepare for what God is about to take you through physically and spiritually. With God's energia, the helper brings to mind God's truths for you to hold on to as you are shaken to the core of your existence by the news. But God does his work, and you are reminded of this. Was it not three we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." That's God's truth penned in Daniel 3. God will be in the fire with you, and the simple truth, it's his work that brought you to and in the fire. And the helper brings this truth of God to your remembrance, what the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross and despising the shame, says, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you," as God inspired Peter to pen in 1 Peter 5. Not only will you suffer, but God himself will come. He won't send anyone else to do the work that he alone will do in your life. And when he comes, he brings abilities and increase your capacity that could be lacking or maybe even depleted by the intensity of the trial. You need God's energia to even consider all that God has prepared for those who love him, and all of God's work in and through their disciples from eternity past to eternity future. If you are one of Jesus' disciples, then you are not exempt from his work being carried out in and through your life, my fellow disciples. It's only natural in the flesh, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And in the flesh, you can try to deny or run from God's trials, because the plain old truth, trial exposed the masquerade. And what I mean by masquerade, what someone may be exhibiting on the outside, yet under the skin, it's totally opposite. You need God's energia to remind you, by the power, work, and teaching of God the Holy Spirit, of God's predetermined plan of, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, as God reveals his plan for their disciples' lives. And this truth of God is penned by Paul in Romans 8. And you should expect and anticipate, as a disciple of Jesus, God will do whatever he has planned, so you will not try to be like Jesus and face a tremendous amount of failure, because trying lives in the flesh and act upon lives in the spirit. That's the plain old truth. And what more can I say? You need God's energia for every aspect of your life, because you walk in a sin-infested snake pit. You need energia in your marriage. You need energia in your workplace, when you travel, the supermarket, the neighborhood, with your children, family members, and in your community. You'll need God's energia for the essentials of the Spirit's fruit basket to be intrinsic in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You'll need God's energia for denying yourself and taking up your cross daily and following Jesus. You'll need God's energia for proclaiming him, teaching and presenting every man. You'll need God's energia to believe. You'll need God's energia, and you know you need God's energia for forgiveness. You know you need God's energy in order for you to put on the new self. You know you need God's energy to walk the way Jesus walked, love the way Jesus loves, and be faithful to the Father like Jesus is, and walk in the shoes that God has specifically prepared for you to walk in. So, my fellow disciples, you need God's energy because do you not know, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. The key ingredient, God the Holy Spirit's occupation and his energia. That's the plain old truth, my fellow disciples. As we head back up, take this with you. Prove you have God's supernatural heart and spirit transplant. Prove you love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Prove you can love your neighbor as yourself. Prove God's word is taking root in your heart and mind, and it's coming out of your mouth. Prove you understand your need for repentance and you are actively changing the way you think about the only true God, his word, commands, works, and truths. Prove you will act upon Jesus's words. Prove you can hold every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. Prove God has implanted his word, work, and spirit in you. Prove you can forgive like you have been forgiven. Prove anger no longer causes you to regret the verbal and physical violence causing harm to yourself and others around you. Prove what you say you are, and not just mere words, but in spirit and truth. Prove your life is a living sacrifice to glorify the Father. Prove the fruit of the Spirit infused into your essence is growing, flourishing, and you are being led by God the Holy Spirit. Prove the only true God abides in you and you in them. Prove you can forgive unconditionally, and love is the greatest expression of forgiveness. Let me say it differently, because that is amazing. Love, a aspect of love. Prove that you can forgive, and love is the catalyst for forgiveness. And remember, forgiveness begins the healing process. Prove you consider others more important than yourself. Prove you have victory over the lust of your eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life. Prove you are being and making disciples. Remember what Jesus says. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. So, my fellow disciples, prove God has given you ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that believes. And of course, the fruit. Let me pray for you. Abba, I love you and I thank you for today. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Abba, how can we even comprehend the depth of your love for us, that you give of yourself, that we could experience life? Help us. Teach us to give of ourselves without holding back and imitate Jesus' life. We now know it takes your spirit, your power, to bring forth the spiritually dead, and that we become alive to do the will of the Father. We thank you for your life and your spirit. Help us to comprehend the cost of our sin on your life. You have made it evident we could never repay you for what you had to suffer for us to have life and have it abundantly. You bring forth trials. Help us to endure those trials and look to you and press deeper into you as you say, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Forgive us of our evil thoughts, our evil words, and evil deeds. We know that in confessing our sin, you are faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Abba, please forgive our pridefulness, our lustfulness, and our acts of anger, and for doubting when you are willing and able to accomplish what you desire in the lives of your disciples. I know there are those who are struggling spiritually because they are trying to live this life in the flesh versus by your energia in the spirit. Empower them today. Bring forth your spirit so they too can testify to you of the wonderful works in and through your creation, and that they too will testify, I was but God. Thank you for this wonderful reminder of your work still being carried out in the lives of your disciples. We thank you for today, and I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in to Diving Deep with DL. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have a great day of worship and keep walking the way.